Get your ass in the trunk.
December 10th, Badr Hari faces Rico Verhoeven for the Glory Heavyweight Championship. If you're not familiar with Badr Hari, he is a legit badass who, you know, dates back to K1 Grand Prix wins. He's had some disqualifications when he knocks down people. He will punch you still. This guy is a legit badass. He's got a criminal record. He served time in prison. He doesn't give a fuck who you are. He is just down to knock you out. Out of you guys, who's really familiar with Badr Hari? He had a little feud with Alistair Overeem. He's knocked him out. Overeem's knocked him out. But Badr Hari is actually a living, breathing, he's pretty much a gangster. Whether you're a waiter, a waitress, someone that crosses him on everyday life, if he doesn't like you, he'll let you know. And yeah, with anything, he's backed into people with his car. He's assaulted people. Like I said, man, he spent time in jail, but he is a legit badass. And that is a must see fight in December against Rico Verhoeven in Glory. And a lot of people are accusing him of a little bit of steroid use because Badr Hari looks like a couple billion dollars right now.
Well, a couple psychologists have talked to him in regards to some of his trials, and they said that his success as an athlete is and celebrity status combined with a lack of personal guidance has resulted in narcissistic personality traits. Some of his quotes are, "I am able to explode at any moment. When my brakes are off, it's just one big clump of explosion, chaos and noise. And I become blind to it all. A storm, a hurricane, a disaster. There are just certain aggressions inside of me, of which I don't know what to do with and neither where it comes from."
He lost a ton of weight in jail because, you know, what is it, Moroccan prison or whatever he's at? I'm sure it's not, you know, several course meals. He kind of fell out of the kickboxing spotlight, but he's back now. His record is great. What is his record, John? Something astonishing?
Hang on. His record?
His kickboxing record.
Okay, because I thought we were talking about his criminal record.
Oh, no. Kickboxing record. Okay. What's his kickboxing record?
He's 106-12. At super heavyweight, that's amazing that he's had that many fights. 93
knockouts.
Yeah. He won it the first K1 heavyweight championship in 2007.
Yeah, he's got 2007, he won the K1. He has a mean streak in and out of the ring. This guy is a legit badass that you really, you know, if he, probably in America, he'd be locked up. And he was locked up overseas. But this guy is must-see TV, and we'll be watching. We'll cover it.
The Moroccan daily Al Akbar said that he was questioned about his relationship with Cristiano Ronaldo because he was posing in pictures where he was carrying him around like his baby girl or his wedding night.
This is after Ronaldo broke up with his girlfriend, right?
He assaulted a waiter and broke a client's nose in a drunken night out.
Sure.
And then the waiter is said to have been assaulted after trying to clarify with Hari whether he wanted a glass of vodka or a bottle of vodka following a drink order. And then the client intervened and got reportedly injured when he tried to get in the middle of it. And he kicked the dude in the head and like knocked teeth out and broke an eye socket and did every other damn thing to this guy.
Yeah.
For trying to stop him from beating up a waiter. So
was that the 94th?
That was... No, that one doesn't even count on his record.
For free.
And that's just him. That's just him trying to get through a guy to get to a guy.
Yes. I mean, his assaults go all the way back to 2010, and they run until, you know, just recently. But, you know, he's done a good job of getting good friends, which I guess gets him out of some of his trouble.
He was convicted of several violent assaults, including an assault on a Dutch businessman that occurred in a skybox during a dance festival. And that was 2012. So, I mean, he'll do it wherever.
And then another Moroccan paper called, an Arabic language newspaper called Asabah, said he, in a restaurant called Corniche on the oceanfront neighborhood, he beat up a waiter who handed him the bill before he asked for it.
Hey,
we've all had those nights, but he seems to have them a lot.
I think he needs to prepare a handout and say, okay, don't do this, don't do that.
He also came under the spotlight last year when the owners of the Real Madrid were upset because Ronaldo's performances were dipping because he was flying to Morocco to see his friend so often.
Right.
And coming back walking like Dale Evans.
Well, and judges in his cases have said he has misused his physical superiority as a professional kickboxer on in his assaults. Well, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, when it's a waiter versus a... Well, not even a trained kickboxer, a top of the food chain kickboxer.
Yeah, this dude is a Tyrannosaurus Rex of fighters. So that some bitch hits harder than Ray Rice to his wife.
All right, we got our top 10 women that we would like to see Ray Carruth stuff in a trunk. And I'm going with Carmen Electra. I am still not over the stuff she pulled on Dennis Rodman back in 1998.
I'm on the big mic. I'm going to go with my first choice will be Hoda from the Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda show. And if they can't be separated, stuff both them bitches in the trunk.
Put them in the trunk.
Whitney Houston, welcome to the trunk. You think you're going to mess with Bobby Brown?
Welcome no. to the trunk, bitch.
Yeah. Get that ass in
Make America great again.
Get that in the trunk.
Make America great. Get in the trunk. I'm going to go with sideline reporter Aaron Andrews.
Get in the trunk.
If you don't like the sight of naked niggas,
get in the trunk.
Get in the trunk.
Shoot. I'm going to go back to the Wayback Machine.
Start covering the cross.
Mary Todd Lincoln.
Shit. Get in the trunk.
Get in the trunk.
Get hey, in my trunk.
Bitch used to beat Abe. She used to beat Abe's ass. And I ain't putting up with it no more.
Okay.
Bitch, get in the trunk.
We're getting in the Wayback Machine. Oh, we're going in the Wayback Machine? How about Eleanor motherfucking Roosevelt?
Shut up and get in my trunk.
Jump in the man's presidency. Jump in the... He's in a wheelchair. Fuck him. I'll jump the presidency.
Get in the trunk.
Get in the trunk.
Shoot, girl. Hope Solo. Hope your ass can get in that trunk.
Yeah, you can, bitch. Get in the trunk. All
right. Going youth.
Let's get serious
We're
here.
Going youth now. Right. Paige Van Zandt, get in the trunk.
Dance that ass in the
in
trunk.
In the trunk. Three names? Three names. Get in the trunk.
PVC? PVC? Get in the T-R-U-N-K.
Second places, first loser.
Get in the trunk.
Well, and I would have gone with China, but she dead. Too easy to put in the trunk. So... I'm going back to the Wayback Machine.
Dead white. So wait.
Wait a second.
Is Mary Todd Lincoln still alive?
Not yet. Maybe. Whatever. Hey.
Shit.
What? Get in the trunk. I pick Matt in the trunk.
Put Matt in the trunk.
You're in timeout. Trunk timeout.
I sprayed kinky all over my face.
Unlock kinky.
Lorena Bobbitt.
Oh,
get in the trunk. Hey, that is number one. Get in the trunk.
Okay. Put down the knife. Get in the trunk.
Octo mom. Eight kids. Get your ass in the trunk.
Get
your ass in the trunk.
One way to close them
all
legs.
All nine of
you motherfuckers.
Get in the trunk.
She is the trunk. Caitlyn Jenner.
Get
Get in the trunk.
Please, sir, get in the trunk.
Sir, if you don't mind, world's greatest athlete.
If you don't mind, get in that trunk.
This is Gary Baker, and I'm here at Abbey Lane. I was wondering if you had any feelings about the Philippines and the conflict that's going on there.
Yeah, Philippines is a big story right now. They are distancing themselves from the U.S. This has been, over several weeks. The Philippines, they had the big protest, which had the American, was it van or truck, Matt, that ran over the protesters?
Yeah, I think it was a truck. It was surrounded by protesters. And, according to their president, he was just trying to remove himself from the situation. He didn't mean to run the people over.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, Duterte. Is that how you say it? Duterte?
Duterte.
What is it?
Rodrigo. Let's just call him Rodrigo.
Oh, yeah. Rodrigo basically said he would like to speak with the American, the guy that ran them over, because he sees it both ways. He sees the protester shouldn't have been there. And then he sees that, maybe the guy was under stress and he just ran him over, I guess, panic.
Yeah, he's probably under stress. He's surrounded by people protesting. So I think that's probably stressful.
Yeah, you
situation.
Have Manny Pacquiao fucking punching your truck or whatever, because Pacquiao's out there protesting, I'm assuming. So then it goes to really the backstory is, Hail Jesus. The backstory is,
well, speaking of Hail Jesus, God did talk to Rodrigo and he ordered him to stop spewing explicit language.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So really really in his speeches?
Well, yeah, I think so. But the thing is it's amazing how God talks to leaders of countries, right?
Yeah, that usually always happens. That's cool. The backstory is Rodrigo's an old school guy. He's, he's like 70.
70, yeah.
Yeah, 70, 71. And if anyone that goes against him, he's an old school guy that he kind of keeps it in and he wants to go against them back. And basically his beef for our African-American listeners, his conflict is... He was at this meeting and he talked to Obama about, some resolving of issues, and Obama talked to him for a little while. And then he said, hey, I'm going to come back and we're going to finish this conversation. And Rodrigo Duterte, he waited, and then Obama's representatives came back. And that's kind of what he was insulted by. Is that it wasn't Obama himself. That's kind of what started it all, right? So the whole protest thing, the Philippines is trying to distance themselves from us. That's kind of, is what it is.
But, yeah, and they've been trying to distance themselves from us for 25 years. They used to be a U.S. colony, and then the United States pulled out not their penis. No, they pulled the military out 25 years ago. And now they're trying to decide basically which superpower they want to unite themselves with.
And China is doing their typical thing. They go to a poor country and they give out loans. A $9 billion loan. They will do that. And, the key word is loan. And then these countries will build themselves up like, oh, my God, we got $9 billion. And then China will be like, oh, but wait, we own that ass. So basically the Philippines is kind of basically cornering with China and Russia, who are always kind of together in conversations. I mean, obviously communist countries. But the thing is with lately, the big thing about, and this is just last week, the Philippines basically have now told the U.S. to get out.
But and they're kind of saying now that United States really has no idea what they want. It used to be when you sat down with the U.S., they'd say, hey, we want to try to contain communism. They want to spread the free enterprise and free trade. And what they're saying now is the United States has no idea what they want. what is it that you want? The United States is like, don't really know. But, you know, where they're at now is going with, like, you know, kind of a drug war deal. And the crazy things going on in the drug war, you know, you can probably enlighten us a little bit on that, Jim.
So Duterte, Rodrigo, whatever, he basically was going open season on drug lords. If you knew someone that sold drugs or was selling drugs, they're open season. You can kill them, and they've killed over 100,000 people linked to drugs. Now, whether, you know, obviously there's some, do all of them have something to do with drugs, or did people say, you gave me, can I borrow some sugar? Whoa, you know, I gotcha. But, right, you got some Excedrin? Whoa, what is this? Pop. Obviously, there's some give and take with that. If we did that in America, John wouldn't have a county to live in. So pretty much he had the war on drugs, like open season with drug lords, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of a purge.
Wyandotte County would merge into a really fucking big Johnson County.
It's a bit of a purge right now. And basically they're, you know, I mean, the way I see it is if you have a beef with somebody, all you have to do is say, hey, he tried to push some drugs on me, or hey, he tried to buy some drugs from me. And then you can just go execution mafia style, put one in the back of their head and night-night.
No, it is a purge. And I would like, okay, if we can, I would like to go around the horn. And I don't give a fuck about your question. What's your question, John?
If he says that he tried to, if you say he tried to buy drugs from you, does that mean you're selling drugs and they can just kill you?
I don't know. mycesspool podcast@gmail.com. Have you
send me your request for drugs?
No. On a serious note, we don't know because we're not there. But no, answer this question while you're on the mic. Would you go for that here in America?
Open season on drug dealers. Illegal drug dealers. I would say no. We have a way of dealing with people who violate the law. And you have to believe in the system. Wouldn't help. It won't help. We have too many people
change,
who sold.
You know, if it doesn't change the friggin' laws. Yep. You know, open season on criminals is just, that's basically vigilantism. If you're not going to follow the law, why are you having the laws in the first place?
No, and that's what they're saying is, in the Philippines, there is a ton of vigilantes fighting local crime, right? And that's what has led to the about 100,000 murders because of open season on drug dealers. It is vigilantes.
But
now,
you
is that
100%?
Is that 100%? Right.
Right.
Probably not.
Been kind of an advocate of legalize whatever, and Darwinism will take care of the rest of it.
Oh, I agree.
Sorry.
Anything you want to put in your fucking skin bag?
Handle your high or fuck off.
Here's the issue. Here in the U.S., we have due process where people have rights. We have rights. We go to court. Evidence is presented against us, and then we're charged by a jury of our peers. Correct? Until you're found guilty of a felony. But, see, what's going on in the Philippines is there are... Yes, it's large. But what's going on is there are accusations of Duterte's government is just taking people. They're disappearing. Nobody knows what's happening to them. They don't know if they're being murdered, but these people are gone.
Oh, they're being murdered.
Yeah. Well, you don't know, though. Yeah. There's no evidence.
I think there's...
Yeah, well, but nobody knows where they're at, what's happened to them. Nobody knows if they're in prison, if there's been due process of their rights. And I mean, I know that the Philippines is a different country, but the world has kind of coalesced around this general idea that there are human rights. So that is the question right now. Are human rights being violated in the Philippines?
Oh, I would imagine so. But I think what they've done is they've taken our drug on wars, and they've taken it our drug on wars, our war on drugs. And they've taken it to an extreme where, you know, some of these other countries have decided that we're not going to make drugs a criminal deal. We're going to make it a medical deal. And I think that eventually that's where the world will turn, that we'll no longer be having a war on drugs, that we're going to treat it as a medical issue, and all drugs will be somewhat legalized. So we can start fighting in the correct way as a medical problem, not as a criminal problem, because that's where we're at, is that it is a medical problem just as much as alcoholism is, you know, which is a legal deal. It's not any different than that. But the truth is, I mean, they're absolutely killing people if they think they're drug lords, kingpins, buyers, pushers. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I just saw my ex-wife trying to buy some, what is it? Shabu. Is that what they call it? No, really. Shabu is a methamphetamine. I think that's what they call it. Let me make 100% sure here. Yeah, Shabu. And it starts at $31 a gram. Now, those could be government prices because, you know, here in America, if you want, an ounce of weed, that'll cost you $200. But according to the government, it's $400. So
that's weird. I dated a gal named Shabu. She was only $31 an hour.
Yeah, I think there's pretty good correlation between that.
Okay, Matt, do you think the Philippines aligning themselves with, obviously, China, who's going to say, hey, we own a chunk of you, and Russia, is the right move?
They're their own sovereign country. They're absolutely allowed to do whatever they feel is best in the interest of moving their country forward. Now, I would go on there and say, you know, maybe they don't know what's best for them, because oftentimes we don't know what is best for us. I think the people maybe kind of align themselves with Americans and American thoughts. I could be wrong. You guys can chime in at mycesspool@gmail.com. Give us some feedback on that. But I would imagine most people are probably a little more liberal than wanting to align themselves with dictators and communism, which is, you know, maybe why they're out there trying to protest.
Well, that's the weird part is, do they think that, like, the millions, billions of dollars of loan is enough to assign themselves with someone else? Like, oh, the building of these certain buildings, or... Right, just trying to get our economy better is worth selling our soul. I mean, because, you know, China and the United States, they have some stake.
Well, it's kind of a get rich quick scheme. You know, anytime you get rich quick, it doesn't happen. you're trying to get there on the quick way, rather than, you know, doing things the right way by building through your economy. Rodrigo's basically, you know, using the old communist ways of, you know, everybody's a criminal. If you use drugs, you're a criminal. You know, have your children turn in their parents for, you know, using, abusing, selling, whatever. And I think the past shows that way of life doesn't work. It doesn't work for this generation, and it doesn't work for the next generation either.
Well, I think part of the issue is whenever you have, and I don't think the Philippines is a third world country. I think that you have pockets of it, just like here in the U.S. I mean, there's people that live in very poor communities. Whenever they get handed something, they're going to be very appreciative of it. They're going to look at you in a different light and see what's going on with China. If this is true, if China is handing out loans to them, This is something that the U.S. has been involved in for a very long time. there is a way to destabilize countries economically to get them to side with you. And the U.S. has actually done it for several years.
Oh, yeah. We're really good at decades. It. Yeah, we're good at it.
Well, there used to be what was called economic hitmen. And what they would do is they would go into third world countries and they would sell them on these grand ideas of, hey, we're going to build you this great industrial park. Well, in third world countries, what's the predominant economy there? It's usually agriculture.
Yeah, well, and we've done that in Haiti also, where, you know, we have all these like clothing factories where, you know, we get moms and 12-year-olds in there and yeah, we get them sewing up.
They're usually owned by the Clintons.
Yeah. They've had their hand in it, I believe.
but no, a perfect example is it was a South American country. I don't think it was Chile. It might have been Chile. But there was one of these South American countries that the U.S., and this is black ops stuff. This is stuff that they won't talk about. But what they would do is that the government would actually hire in engineering companies. They would send them down to these third world countries, and they would sell them on this great economic idea. Hey, we're going to build you this great industrial park, right? But you're talking about a country full of peasants. Countries full of people that all they know is how to grow corn, how to grow wheat or whatever agricultural product is there. And I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I'm just saying that's the way life is in those countries. And what would happen is they would build these huge industrial parks. The country would not be able to pay back the loans to the U.S. And all of a sudden, the conditions would change. So what these countries end up falling into is once they can't pay back the loans to these companies, then you would have somebody that would come in and they would say, you will either give us your natural resources or you'll give us UN votes. If they didn't like that, if the country wouldn't go for it, then they would send in somebody else that would strong arm you. Or the last phase of it is they would kill you. And there are several instances of South American leaders that wouldn't play ball with the U.S. back in the 80s. Perfect example, the guy from Panama that died in a mysterious helicopter crash. He was somebody who would not play ball with the U.S. And I want to say this was right at the end of the Carter administration, beginning of the Reagan administration. But this is what we do to third world countries. We were economic hitmen for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And I would say that the same sort of thing is going on in the Middle East right now, that we will make up anything we have to make up because you have oil and we're going to go there and try to figure out how to get our hands on your resources. Nothing's changed in 40 years for this country.
To an extent, but there is oil all over the world. We have a lot of oil here in the U.S.
Absolutely. We just refuse to use. Well, we just don't touch it. Yeah, absolutely. Because we're going to play the game of we're going to be all around longer than you are. And when it gets bad, we're still going to have it and you won't.
Yes. So I agree to an extent, but I believe the nation building over in the Middle East was going in a little bit different direction. Rather than natural resources, I think we wanted more influence on countries via controlling their governments rather than trying to tap into their natural resources. Because I always heard the old thing, oh, we went into Iraq for the oil. Well, you know what? We get 10% of our oil from Iraq. Iraq's not a big player to us.
Yeah, not anymore. We've limited that down. It used to be a lot more. We used to get more from what is it, OPEC or whatever.
OPEC is just a bunch of countries that
right,
dominate the oil prices.
Absolutely. And that's why we've somewhat stabilized our gasoline prices here. But, you know, getting back to the Philippines, is a lot of this is it's human rights. That's where it comes in. It's human rights where, you know, they're treating their people like animals over there.
Well, they're treating a certain class of they're treating a certain class of their citizens as a certain way.
Well, they're pretty sure that everybody is using drugs, and I think that we all can say that in most of the world, if you don't have a good economy, you don't have strong jobs, you know, then what do a lot of people turn to? Easy money. Where's the easy money? Easy money is in selling drugs, you know, making drugs. Then what happens is you have all these drugs running around and people start using drugs because people generally, I believe, start using drugs because life is shitty. You don't have a job. You don't have any means to an end. So what do? You try to do what you can to forget about it. And trying to forget about it, drugs.
Yeah. Well, and all that may be true, but at the end of the day, these are people that still have a right to life.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the problem with trying to exterminate people that are using drugs. Because, you know, I mean, I imagine we all probably know somebody that at one time in their life, they got jacked up on the, what's that stuff called? Chenu? Whatever, methamphetamines. They got jacked up on the cocaine. They got jacked up on something. And then something happened. They grew up. They realized that life was better than that. Something happened and they said, you know what? I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to get better about things and I'm going to do the right things. But when you start executing people for using or pushing, you're not giving them the ability to get better. They can't make their lives better.
You're removing the opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you're dead, that's it, man. The choice has been made for you. And that's where one of the biggest problems is right now in the Philippines. They're just executing you for something that you're doing now. They're making that your final decision. And we all know that, hey, man, you know, a bachelor party, I may not do weed, but once or twice a year. But let's just say that I'm at a bachelor party. I'm partying with the boys, whatever. Hey. Tonight's the night I'm going to let loose a little bit, forget about life, forget about whatever. And some dude sees me and he's like, yep, you're a freaking drug addict and I'm ending your shit. Now, not only has that screwed up my life, that's probably screwed up my wife's life, my children's lives. I mean, there's a lot of other people that you have to take in consideration here when you just decide to end somebody's life. And that's one of the biggest problems in today's world. People don't value life, not only their own, but they don't value other people's lives.
Well, part of that is also we have to recognize that people from different cultures value different things. And it's not that they value life any less or any more, but they may value life differently.
They're getting a free pass right now by their president. Can you imagine living in a country where your president is telling you, I mean, I guess maybe you guys can, you guys are Trump voters. So, you know, it's possible that's, you know, the way of life you guys are looking at. I don't know.
What the hell are you talking about?
Hey, you know, I mean, he's a little bit radical.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Hey, Trump's radical, man. And he,
and
you
Hillary's
know,
not radical.
No, not
radical.
No, I'm just saying in a violent sort of way.
And Bernie
I mean,
Sanders isn't radical.
No, the worm has turned. No, the deal is Trump is going out in his rallies and he is telling people, hey, you punch that dude in the nose and I'll take care of your bills for you. Don't worry about that. No, these are his words. These are
not
my words. Oh, absolutely. He's saying he's going to pay your attorney fees.
No, hold on.
Absolutely.
But what's going on is we've already learned from WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton is paying people to go out and assault people at Trump rallies. The Chicago rally. The Chicago rally is a perfect example.
That's not anything new. That's politics, right?
You call it politics, but we're just sitting here saying that wasn't right.
No, I'm saying that Trump stood up on stage and told them, go ahead, hit him in the nose, and I'll take care of your attorney fees. That's not my words. Those are his words. That happened at a rally.
You would have to go back and review the deal.
I just happen to like Google, and I'll Google it.
Okay. And maybe I am, what's the phrase I'm looking for?
You like to drink the Kool-Aid?
No, I'm not a Democrat. not parse words, but not trying to mince words here, but I don't think that's exactly what Donald Trump said. I think that he said, if you get into it with somebody, I will pay your bill. I'll pay your bill to get you out of jail. Or something to that effect. I don't think that he's directly telling people to go out and assault anyone. I think his whole deal was, hey, stand up for yourself. Defend yourself. And if you go to jail because some idiot wants to assault you, I'll bail you out.
Well, and I think what it was is here's in Las Vegas, in his final rally, and this was, you know, in the caucus. This wasn't in the general election. Trump said,
you said
that
caucus.
He wanted to punch a protester who had been ejected from the event in the face. And then, let me see. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher. I'd like to punch him in the face. I'll tell you, Mr. Trump added. But I'm pretty sure in here somewhere that maybe should have been roughed up before later pulling back from his comments. But that's, hang on, but that's pretty typical of the way Trump does things. And I didn't mean to get away from the Philippines, but very typically he'll say something, throw it out there, raise a big stink, and then he'll pull back from it a little bit. You know, and I see, but I see this being very similar to the way that things are in the Philippines, is that let's say all these crazy things, but then when somebody tries to pin you down on it, then you kind of back off and say, whoa, hang on, wait. Maybe I didn't say shoot him in the back of the head. I just said kill somebody for using and abusing drugs.